Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Mesechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Zayin. Can you imagine? We just started and we're already at Mem Zayin. It's absolutely crazy. Okay, see what it helps every day a little bit before you know it? Your life has changed totally. So, the next part of the Mishnah talked about the difference between asering someone, or asering yourself actually in the Mishnah, Konem lebeitcha shani nichnas atcha shani kona versus bayit ze or soda ze. So we say, if somebody asks himself coming into your house, so then the moment it's not your house, so then I'm not us. But if he asks himself coming into this house, then it's usr even when it's not your house. So if you went ahead and sold the house, then I would be usr to go into it. Now, it's very interesting that there's another side to this, which we haven't discussed, which the Ran points out, that there is also a very important kula about saying this house. So on the one hand, this house is more chomer, because even if it isn't yours any longer, it's usur. But this house is also kal, because let's imagine a case that this house burns down in a fire, right? Now it's rebuilt. It's no longer this house, right? But it is your house. So then in terms of your house, it would be usur. In terms of this house, it would not be usur. So it turns out that there's both a chumra and a kula. Now, you remember that we spoke about cases before where you said both of them. Lebeitcha zeh. So what happens there? Do you get both chumras? Do you get both kulas? This is, Yerushalmi speaks about, okay, so what about that case? But it was confusing to us because remember the Girsaot, and also the differences where you use both Lashonos. Remarkable. Okay, anyway, but we understand that that is talking about a case where somebody assers this on himself. Okay, that makes a great deal of sense. But the question is, can you do that for someone else? Can you asser someone else on something when it's no longer yours? So remember, we discussed this at great length before. And over there we came out, the raya that we're going to bring here in the previous Gemara, the Gemara held was not sufficiently persuasive. Remember, we brought the raya from the fact that a person could asser his child after his death to be nena from his nechasim, which would make a difference in terms of the Yerusha or his ability to use the Yerusha. We said before, maybe there's a difference where he specified, he said, b'chayayo v'moti. Over here, he didn't say b'chayayo v'moti. And we're going to see that here, that is not the issue. The issue is not, what does the person mean? Which was the question before. What's the person's intent? Over here, we're sure what his intent is. In other words, the question that Avimi is about to ask is a question of whether you have the theoretical ability to do such a thing, not whether your intent is to do such a thing. So, boy, Avimi, if a person says, konem lebayit zeh shata nichnas, how about if somebody assers someone else on a house that he owns currently, the one who is assering it, he owns, and then he dies, or he sells it, there would he be able to asser that house on his friend, even though he sold it? That's what I would like to know. So, meita o micharola acher mahu. Do we say that a person is able to asser something that is currently in his rishus when it leaves his rishus? Oh, lo. So now the question is like this. Remember, we understood that this is a very primal issue when it comes to nedarim. Are nedarim the ability of the person's mind to create a state of virtual isser because the concept of ownership extends to the impact of your mind on what you own? And we've seen that this concept, I mentioned to you earlier, some interesting tshuvas among the Achronim. If a person is Megayer, would that mean that his Kalim were all Megayer with him? In the sense that they all, if he went to the mikveh, then they went to the mikveh, so he would not have to be Tevel his own Kalim, which he owned as a Goy. It's a remarkable svara. But, I mean, the truth is that the Gemara talks about the Chamor of Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer, right? Or Reb Chanina Ben Doisa. we're over there, we understand that the animals are an extension of the owner's mind. It's not that they have their own mind about whether they're going to be eating d'may or they're going to be machmer on d'may, like Rabbi Hanina said, well, you know, this chamor is very machmer on herself and she won't eat from that kind of things, right? So the idea over here is nedarim, we've seen that we had this big machlokas rishonim between the Ran and the Rush were the main proponents. A lot of others get into it, of course, about whether the way that nedarim work is always through the concept of hatfasat hegdesh, and that nidrei hegdesh are not just a indication that a person is capable of entering into states of iser with his lashon, but rather they form the template for the entire idea of Nidrei Yisr, so that I can't create Yisr out of nowhere. I'm always just utilizing the concept of Hegdesh to create Yisr. Since I can create Hegdesh, so now we have this additional parsha in the Torah that tells me that if you make something like Hegdesh, that's what you're saying, Konam, so then that thing becomes the equivalent of Hegdesh in terms of Isser. And of course, that even extended to Rabbi Meir Shita about Konamot being also capable of Pidyon. You can buy them out, the same you can be paid to Hegdesh, or capable of being Mechayev you a Karban Me'ila, which is remarkable. They're not Hegdesh, and yet they act as if they're Hegdesh. And there was a question whether, is there a separate type of Neder, where there's a set of nedarim that are just called Isurim and are not konamos, or are all nedarim essentially the equivalent of konamot? And even though you didn't say it, it's automatic as an extension of the idea of yadot, which is the way the Rush understands it. There is no two separate sets of nedarim. Now, this relates to the same question, because what the Gemara wants to know is that if nedarim are an extension of your mind, in which case, whatever virtual reality you believe because of this neder, the chiddush of the Torah is that that virtual reality can affect others as long as you are empowered over it with ba'alut. And we pointed out that ba'alut is very intimate, from noted from the word itself in Lashon HaKodesh. Then, the moment that you are no longer the ba'al, the entire virtual reality collapses. How can I answer somebody else on something that I don't own? But if we understand that nedarim are an extension of the concept of Hegdesh, the concept of Hegdesh is imposed by the Torah, and the entry into that state is the only thing that is dependent on the mind of the person who owns it. But once it enters, all of the dinim of Hegdesh are chal on it, whether you intend it that way or not. So the question is here, if I owned it and I put it into a state of konam, would that mean that even when I cease owning it, the konam would remain? Now, if I didn't intend for that to be the case, in other words, if I said beferish, so long as this is yours, I won't go into it, the same thing would be true of, so long as this is mine, you can't go into it. Then obviously, if it's no longer mine, there never was a netter that would answer it. But if I said this thing, and I understand that that means whether I own it or whether I've died and somebody else was yorish it or I sold it, under any and all circumstances, I do want it to be usher on you, then this question kicks in. Can I do such a thing? Or are nedarim just a virtual reality that my ownership allows me to impose and that completely disappears the moment that I don't own it? It would be like by saying, you are not allowed to use your refrigerator any longer. It's usher b'amo. What are you, nuts? So obviously, how could you answer something that is not in your rishus? So this is what I would like to know. Says the Gemara, same raya that we brought before. Amar Rava Tashma. Omer Livno. By the way, I just want to remind you of one thing that we've spoken about a few times, but don't forget. I think we just talked about it yesterday, as a matter of fact, again. If he says just that it's the your buy it or your sud, I'm not going to buy. So then the idea over here, if he says I won't be nana from your buy it, that includes your selling it directly to him. Question of selling it being mutter is if he sells it to somebody else. in the event that the person says specifically, your house. That's just by the way. Okay, but getting back now to the Raya. Omar Rava. So Rava says the same Raya that we brought earlier. Remember that it says Beferish in the Mishnah that we had not here, but we're going to have above a comma. Omar Liv, no. Konem Shiatanenetli. I answer you, he says to his son, of benefiting from my things. Well, if he dies, then that's a normal inheritance. They're not his things. And in dying, he didn't give it to his son. The Torah gives it to the son. And therefore, it's not considered to be that it's as if he was mocher to the son. And so, if he says that, then of course, it's a normal Yerusha. But how about if he says beferush bechayavu v'moto, which is the case over here, according to Avimi, because we understand that your intent in saying this house is bechayavu v'moto, he doesn't agree that there's a difference between the statement beferush or the assumption. So then, can he do something? And it says over here that he can. That if he said to his son, I mean my property not because it's currently mine, but at the time, but because it's mine now, and I'm just identifying it as my property. But even if it isn't mine, you can't be nene from it. So then if he dies, lo yirashena. Ha-ha. So what do you see from there, says Rava? Shma mina adam oser davar shebirushuto likishiyetze mirushuto. So you see that the way that the netter works is by the imposition of a state that is not in a continuous process of being created by my ownership. It's similar to the state of Hekdesh itself. And therefore, in the same way that the Hekdesh will continue, so too will the Konam, which is like Hekdesh, continue. That's what I see from here. Shema Amina. And indeed, that's true. By the way, there is an interesting machlokas here, just to mention. So we've been learning this until now the way the Ran insists. And that is that, of course, Yirashena and Lo Yirashena is not a question of the ownership. Of course he owns it, but he's just not allowed to use it. And in fact, the Mishnah actually goes on to suggest that, well, what he could do is, he could go ahead and get into debt. And then the people that he doesn't pay can come and collect the field from him, right? And then they're collecting it from him. What can I do, you know? So, okay, so in that case, it would appear that you're really the owner. But interestingly enough, the Rashba says that you're not the owner. How is that possible? So the Rashba says, because Yerusha transfers not items, but items that have value. And since Yisurei Hana'ah has no value to you, so how could you own something if there's not a value that the ownership is chal on? Now, as you know, we've discussed very much in the past, the issues of ownership and whether they are attributes of value or attributes of relationship to an object. So over here, there's this actually interconnection between the potential of ownership of an object without owning any of its value. Fascinating, right? So in that case, you would still be an owner in terms of the Yerusha because the Torah gave it to you. But for kinyonim purposes, and that's all different can of worms. So for kinyonim purposes, kinyonim are not about objects. They're about value, unless they are about objects. But that's where husbandry actually makes you a husband. So that could be an entirely different issue. I shouldn't say can of worms. However, the reality is that kvura itself is a function of that same thing. So maybe a can of worms is not such a bad metaphor for the issue. But, all right. Well, we'll pretend that life is more romantic than that. Anyway, Shema Mina. Now, this is a fascinating question that also extends in a way to the same idea about how does an Isser continue even where it wasn't something that you had asserted or that you would have been able to assert. So let's consider a case like this. We know that the Mishnah later on says, Tananhas, konam perot ha'elu alai. So he talks about these fruit, konim hem alpi, konim hem lafi. Now, how about if he exchanges them for something else? How about if he barters them, right? Or how about if he plants them and now something else grows from them? So what is the din of the chilufeyam, the giduleyam? So the Mishnah says it's aser. And that would mean that if you went ahead and planted that thing that you asered, since you made it a konam, so the din would be like Hegdash. And in Hegdash, if you were machlif Hegdash for something else, so then it has the same iser as the original Hegdash has. And if you plant Hegdash and Gidulim of Hegdash grow, Gidulim of Hegdash would also be aser. So if that's the case, so then I would like to know whether that is only something that has to do with you, or is that something that can be chal on others as well? Now, this relates to the same question. When you're making something aser on somebody else, then, Bayrami Barchama, suppose you asered konem perota elu al ploni. What would be the din over there if you exchange them for something else? Now, remember that if you exchange, we know midiraisa, I mean, if you went ahead and you exchanged something, if it isn't shvius, now remember one of the dinim that we just recently learned at the end of the previous parak, we reviewed it again, that when it comes to Shemitah, if you exchange peretz that are kodesh b'kedusha shvius, they are tofes as domav, so that the money itself becomes kodesh. What's more, even if you just exchange a thing which is shvius kedusha for something else, so then we had the case of the guy bought meat, now he wants to exchange the meat for fish, and so on. The deal is that he can aser the other thing. The other thing now becomes aser. So that's understood, that it would apply midiraisa only to those two cases. Shvius, and we know of Avodah Zarah, and of course in Hegdash, that's the halacha of pidyon. But when it comes to Kona, what is the meaning of saying that if you went ahead and you exchange them, they're aser? Would that be true if you even aser on somebody else? In other words, maybe the way that this works is by extending the idea of the neder to even what it was that was exchanged for it, because you have that ability on yourself. For instance, Gabi Delay. Suppose you want to aser someone else's peres on yourself. Okay, obviously you can do that. That's the whole point. So he can also aser this exchanged perot on himself, even though he doesn't own them. So in other words, you ask, well, I don't understand. As far as he's concerned, isn't it a davar shelo ba la'olam? When you don't own something, that's defined as a davar shelo ba la'olam, vis-a-vis yourself, right? So if you say, when I buy this field, it should be Hegdash. And the field exists, but it's a davar shelo ba la'olam in terms of the ownership of the field and your ability to make it Hegdash. So in a neder, that's irrelevant. Because in a neder, I don't have to own the thing in order for it to be usher on me. I could say, your refrigerator is usher on me. Mordechai, please mute. Your refrigerator is usher on me, but I can't say your refrigerator is usher on you. So since I could say your refrigerator is usher on me, I can also say, when you buy a refrigerator, it'll be usher on me, because my ownership is irrelevant. It's just identification. Now, how does the idea of exchange work? Is the idea of exchange that in my mind is that the neder should be chal on this thing and everything that comes from this thing? In which case, it's all very nice when it applies to me, because I could do that to myself, even though that which it was exchanged for is a davar shelo ba la'olam in terms of ownership, but I couldn't do it for you. So if I made something usher on you, and then it was exchanged for something else, would the exchange also be usher on you? Or I don't have that power of ushering something on you. That's my question. So he can also usher davar shelo ba la'olam al atzmo. That makes sense, even though they don't exist, so to speak. They don't exist legally. Mashenken gabi chaveiro. where over there, I certainly cannot aser your things on yourself. So, ein adam oseh perot chaviro chaviro. So how could I aser something that doesn't exist in terms of my rishus on it? That's like trying to aser you on something that you own. I can't aser you on something you own, and I can't aser you on something that somebody else owns. So let's say those eggs that Gavi's making look very good, and I say, you're not allowed to eat those eggs. I can't aser those eggs, right? Could I aser Gavi on eating those eggs? Since it's the middle of the daf, maybe. But that enters into other shilas. So the question would be over here, if ein adam aser dover shelo ba'alei olam, chaperos chavero, then ein adam aser dover shelo ba'alei olam either, al chavero, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? That it follows, but it depends, of course, where that koyach is coming from. Because if that koyach is part of the state of konam, odilma, mishum de chilufin ki gidulim dami. Maybe the idea is not because it's what I intend, but look, in the same way that hekdesh asers something that grows from hekdesh, so something that is bartered for Hekdesh is growing from the Hekdesh. It's an extension of the Hekdesh. In which case, it follows from the very fact that I said Konam. It's nothing to do with me. It has to do with the state of Konam. And if that's the case, Loshnahu, Veloshnah Chaviro. So basically, this would be a question. Now, here, it's true that we're asking it only in terms of Nedarim. Whether that is considered to be my extension. But, I mean, the issue, if you're telling me that something which is usher, the chilufim are considered to be gidulim, so then that would be true of anything that's usher bahana, that chilufin would be gidulim. I can't create that. I mean, if that's a reality, it would be true about anything. If that's not a reality, then this would be a din that has to do only with neder. And then the question would have been, because it's coming from my ability to answer myself. Okay, so that, for sure, is something that the Ron points out, that, look, obviously this would extend, if I'm telling you that chilufim are gidulim, I could have asked this shaila about anything. And in fact, the Gemara is going to bring rayas from Orla about chilufim and gidulim. But the other side of the question, okay, but you could do it for yourself. I mean, I wouldn't be able to indicate that unless I use the example of Nedarim. Furthermore, the Ron says, you need to realize that it's obviously usher to do it because it's a way of getting Hanah. If I said I'm not going to get Hanah from Gavi's eggs, and then I go ahead and I exchange them for something else, isn't that a Hanah? Of course it is. So in that event, I would be deriving Hanah from it. Of course, I'm not allowed to do it. Okay, that's not the question. The question is if I did it. So if I'm not allowed to do it, that this is does not necessarily mean that it becomes usher afterwards, right? That's the second point the Ron makes. Now, furthermore, the Ron pointed out, as we spoke about earlier, we know for sure that the only place that something is tofes as domav, ishvias, and avodah zara. So now our question is, legabe nedarim. Is this like a hagadash, or is it like isser that's tofes as domav? So if we're asking whether it's tofes as domav, then it clearly is not tofes as domav d'oraisa. I mean, that would be a violation of 100 gemaras, where we needed special psukim to tell me that, you know, the and that remains usher no matter what. And then we had the same thing about Avodah Zarah, that it is behavayato, it's going to remain usher no matter what. Fine, okay. That certainly we don't have legabe nedarim. So the question over here would be not midi raisa. The question is whether the Rabbanan answered it. That's what I want to know. Okay? So, if that's the case, says Rav Acha Bar Menuhmi, I think I could bring you a raya. Tashma. Ha'omer le'ishto, konam she'ani ne'enelech. I aser my, you getting any hana'ah from me. Or the other gear says mahanelech, which makes more sense. So, what happens? She is supposed to be able to be provided for by her husband. Her husband has ossered anything that he gives her by not. So now what? How does she get those things from her husband? So what she does is she goes to somebody, borrows money, uses that money to provide for herself, and then the Balei Chov can come, and they are poreya from the husband. So therefore, even though she can't take anything from him directly, but definitely he can be sued by somebody else where the somebody else supported her. Now remember that Hanan said before, remember, that Miniach Mosav al Karen HaTzvi? Yes, but that's where he steps up and he says, I'd like to take care of you. So over there, that's Miniach Mosav al Karen HaTzvi according to Hanan. But where she borrows, that's a completely different situation. If I'm borrowing from you, and the understanding is, Bepashtas, she doesn't have any money because the husband's in control of the bank accounts. Under normal circumstances, obviously, she might have money, but that would be a different situation. Then she doesn't get mezonos either. If she canceled her mezonos in exchange for her ability to have all of her own bank accounts and businesses, it'd be something else. So now it says over here that it's okay for her to go ahead and borrow. And then her husband is going to be mechuyev to pay. But isn't that essentially simply taking one person's money and being machlif it for the yisurei hanah, which is her husband's money? So if that's the case, the moment that she borrows, what she's doing is she's flipping. She's flipping directly her husband's money to the other one. This is the way the Ron learns it. And therefore, the issue should be on her to do that flip. So how are we allowing her to do this? She shouldn't be allowed to borrow in this sense. Okay. This is the shot that the Ron was macabre. There are also alternatives, which is the question is, can these people actually, and this is what he himself prefers, that if chilufim are literally like yidulim, how could the Baal Chov be boyin v'nifroin? That's the question. Because even though, think to yourself for a moment, how indeed do they come and collect from a Baal Chov, the Baal Chov collect from the Baal, if the Baal doesn't owe them the money? He didn't borrow the money. She borrowed the money. So how does it work? It works with the famous Shibudet Reb Nosson. Remember Shibudet Reb Nosson. If A owes B and B owes C, so then A owes C in terms of the lien, right? So then over here also, she borrowed money, but the husband owes her the money. So therefore, C can come directly and take it away from A, who's the husband, through B, the missus. And that would be the entire way that they have a right to collect. So now the way that I understand it is, even though the halacha is like that, that you can enforce that in court, which is called motzi mizeh v'notnim lezeh, based on shibudet Reb Nosson. But over here, it cannot be. This is how the Ron understands it. Over here, it cannot be. The question is not about her. The question is, how is the law made? So over here, it cannot be that these people made the loan in the first place with the understanding that they're going to be able to collect it from the husband, because they knew that that would create a situation of Yisur HaNov for her, because then it would be a chalifin, and it would be a direct switch. So then that must mean that they gave the money over here, not in order to utilize the idea of Shibudet Reb Nosson. That's the way that the Ron understands it. Okay, but in any event, what we see over here is that apparently, there is no problem of chilufim being automatically like gidulim. So, lav mishum de chilufin are lav ki gidulim dami. And that doesn't mean it's exactly the same. It's only a question of imposition by the netter and not by the reality. Says Rafa, I don't understand. How do you prove anything from here? Because remember, the question over here is not whether you're allowed to do it. The question over here is if it were done, because that's what basically happened over here. So who's to say Maybe it's true. In other words, maybe if you go ahead and you do it and you're maklev something, of course you're not allowed to. But that wasn't the question, was it? The question was whether, if it were done, would it actually be tofes es domav midrabanan? So what she is doing is not actually a direct chalipin. It's something that comes out of what it was that she had done. So therefore, it doesn't mean, over here we said that she's allowed to go and do it, right? But the point is, what he's saying in terms of lechatchila b'diavad, doesn't mean literally lechatchila b'diavad, was she allowed to borrow the money or not? That was the whole point. He's using the words lechatchila means directly. Take something and exchange it for it. That's lechatchila. Something that comes out of something that was already done, he's calling that b'diavad. It doesn't mean that she shouldn't have borrowed the money, but if she did, no, it says over here she can go ahead and borrow the money. It means if what ultimately evolves out of that transaction becomes a chilupin, that's called b'diavad. Okay, so then that happened. It was triggered by what she did, but it wasn't a direct chilupin. She didn't do it. It wasn't exchanged by her. And that's what would be mutter, but that was not what we were asking. We were asking whether in the end does it become usur. If it is a real khalif, does it become usur? In this case, it wasn't a real khalif, and it was an emergent khalif. Okay, so I'll bring you another raya. Fine, I understand. That raya is not a good raya. How about this mission in Kiddush? Somebody has Isurei Hana'ah. So he's got Orla, let's say, right? And now he gives a woman Orla and says, Harayat Mekudeshetli. With this Orla. So then she's not Mekudeshet because they're not worth anything. They have to be worth the Shavu Prut and they're Isurei Hana'ah. So how can he be Mekadesher with something that has no value? Now, what about if he goes ahead and he sells the Orla? He wasn't allowed to do that, but he does. So he goes ahead and he sells the Orla and he uses the money. Mekidesh B'dameyam. What's the din over there? Harezu Mekudeshet. How could it be Mekudeshet if you're going to tell me that Isurei Hana'ah, and remember we pointed out that the same issue about whether Chilufim are the equivalent of Gidulim would apply to any type of Isurei Hana'ah. If you're going to tell me that Chilufim are Gidulim, so then the money is just as usur as the regular Orla was. Even though, of course, but you're right, that's not Tofes es domav. But your question is whether the Rabbanan asserted the Chilufim as if they were Gidulim, right? That was your question. Well, we see over here that that's not an issue. You could go ahead and go give it to her, and she would be Mekudeshet. So, now, what's the Raya? Doesn't say he's allowed to do that, right? It says if he did it. So maybe he was over at the Rabbanan and he went ahead and he was Mekadesher, right? So then, of course, why should it not be Mekudeshet? Should be the same. So he already did the Chilufim. He sold it. Now the Havamino over here is that she herself would be usher to him, Bano. Because basically, she is a chilufit. So if you're telling me that the guy cannot utilize the ex post facto, what it is that was exchanged, over here, the woman was exchanged for the gidulim, so to speak, if we're calling chilufit gidulim, of Orla. And so in this case, since he needs to exchange the money for her, so then why is it chal? If the Mishnah says that it's chal on her, so apparently the Rabbanan did not say you cannot utilize what it is that you were able to get through a bartering or an exchange with a dover that is asur b'ano. There's no such concept, because otherwise then the Isha would not be able to be his wife by the same token that he would not be allowed to be Nena from something that was exchanged. This would be similar to the idea of flipping the meat for the fish and so on when it comes to the Shvias idea, right? So the last thing should remain usher. So she should remain usher in this case because it became the Chilufim. So what the raya is from the fact that it's a normal mekudeshet. Answers the Gemara, but here too, it could well be that the Rabbanan asered you to do such a thing lechatchila. But that is if you did it, right? So it doesn't matter whether you did it lechatchila or not. We're using the same language, which is very confusing. We're using the language of here too. What do you mean here too? Remember that lechatchila hu delo vi'i avad avad did not mean, as we explained, did not mean what you do lechatchila is obviously usher, but who said that it would be usher b'diavad? That didn't mean that. Remember when Rava said that, what did it mean? That lechatchila means direct. I'm doing something directly. B'diavad meant it emerged at the end that that happened. Well, I mean, that clearly is not meaningful over here. I was the one who went ahead and I sold it, and now I'm using it. So the way that the Ran understands the words here, and again, the words, no matter how you understand it, I'm misleading because it's not here too. You told me, oh, Hanami. I mean, it's not the same concept. But what concept is it? So the Ran suggests that maybe the idea over here is that the first thing that you went ahead and you were machliv, so over there, the Rabbanan aser de lechatchila, meaning not the doing it lechatchila, but what came out of the lechatchila, which was the first chilufin. But the second chilufin is considered to be the bidiavad, so to speak. So I'm exchanging the money for her. That was never a question. So we didn't consider that also to be chilufin, which is a very interesting approach. But it certainly is very different. In any event, this means that we really do not have a solution. I don't know. That's the answer to Rami Bar Choma. Is it mutter to be nana? Because what he was asking is, could a netter function the way Isrei Hana function, or is there no such thing? Well, we don't know. So, I mean, the issue, therefore, says the Ran, as we've already explained, could only be bin Rabbana, right? Because, after all, we know that the only thing that stoifes is dom of miniraisa would, in fact, be Avodah Zarah and Shemitah. And therefore, since what we're dealing is a derabbanan, we should be mekel. And if you did go ahead and you utilize the Surei Hanah as a chalifin, so then, since the Gemara didn't come out with an answer, Rami Bar Choma, so in this case, it would mean that you would not be usher. But the question is, Masha Inkein, when it has to do with the netter, we don't have a solution either. And over there, we're talking about perhaps the Diaraisa. So maybe over there, Enochinami, we should, when it comes to the netter, we should be Machmir. Okay, it's a fascinating issue of Chilufin. In any event, this concludes that exploration of what is Biyodi to do in terms of a netter and what is an outgrowth of a netter that I make, which is why it's not so strange to use the Lashon of Bidiavad as outgrowth, because after all, that's the way that we were using it in terms of the netter.